Welcome, Lund loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
I am juiced up and ready to go because it is episode 197. Good Tuesday morning. I know that because it's trash day. Got a lot to go over today. I got some randoms too today, but we no longer have to rely on Giants for content because if they suck, this is the greatness of this YouTube show and many like it. I don't have to talk about it. I'm not the flagship of the Giants. If they're going to continue to put out bad content, I'm not going to talk about them. That was horrid. That was horrid last night. It was just bad baseball. Seriously, Little League was better. So we'll start with the 49ers, John and Kyle, those two guys that you see on your screen right there for episode 197. They're going to speak at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And what I'll do is I'll cut everything up for you and opine on what we hear. But they'll have big smiles on their face because it is training camp. And then tomorrow the guys are going to be on the field. And then we're going to be able to see Ricky Pearsall and all the different things. And like I said, I'm hearing Pearsall is going to be there for day one tomorrow and everyone's panicking. And we'll see because the wide receiver position is Uno is number one on the list as far as concerns. And then we got to go over to the defense and all these different kind of things. But we got a ton of time to talk about that. This entire training camp will analyze, over-discuss. I have a lot of stuff for you to talk about from training camp, but it is episode 197. And good morning, and lots of gratitude for you jumping in today for the episode and for John Lund Unleashed. If you're watching on X, thank you very much for watching on X this morning. Thank you very much for watching on Instagram this morning as well. Always appreciate you watching on Instagram. Maybe you're watching on Facebook. I've got a personal page and John Lund Unleashed there as well. All sorts of ways that you could be watching. Thank you. Whatever platform you're watching on, always appreciate it. If you would jump over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that would be tremendous. We have a great chat room. I'm going to say good morning to everybody momentarily. We'll do roll call. And we got a great chat room. So if you're new and you jump over to the chat room, please say good morning. Now, you don't have to, but it's a great way to just say hello to everybody. Everybody is accepting and very cool and laid back. And we put sports in their proper perspective and everything. Not that we're not passionate and talk about it and all those kind of things, and you can have whatever opinion you want to have, and that's great about this forum as well. Everybody is cool that way. So good morning to everybody, and welcome to episode 197. Before we do roll call today, and so it begins, John and Kyle speak. That's at 11 a.m. We're going through the chalkboard here. What I'd ask, I'll tell you, power ranks, they're already out today. I'll show you where the 49ers are, and again, I'd rather be underrated than overrated. I don't know why fans freak out when their team, they were better than that. McCaffrey's better than 73 in the top 100. Let them be underrated. Maybe they can sneak up on somebody. The Giants' worst, I mean, that was just a minor league performance, but we'll talk about it. What happened just means, what the hell? The Giants are 33-37 in their last 70. That is a big enough sample size. We're not talking about small sample size. 13-14, 13-14, 7-9. And that's their last 3 months. And 0-4 since the All-Star break. And they don't look like anything like an All-Star team. And yesterday I just floated the idea of possibly being sellers. I don't know. They might be sellers. They just don't look good at all. Something's missing. And they just refuse to make changes in the coaching staff. Not that that matters so much. But in the midst of this, they've given Bob Melvin a vote of confidence by extending him. They haven't mentioned anything about Pat Burrell, even though every bat in the lineup outside of Willie Adames is shit right now. It's just bad. And then I've got to admit when I'm wrong, and I am wrong on Birdsong. I'll expand further on that. Random things happen throughout the show. And a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol in which we have to wish somebody happy birthday. So that's what we got going on today. And a lot of other things beyond that. But let's say good morning to everybody on the cusp of training camp for the 49ers. Good morning to Keeping the Faith. Oh, yes. Football is back. It's nice to have you keeping the faith. Absolutely. We'll do a ton of Niners for you as we get ready for training camp. Papa Jay is here. Let's go. I'm ready, man. I am ready. Like and subscribe to both channels. The Bay Area Sports Collective, of course, which is a bunch of ex-KNBRers, including myself and Jeremy Affelt and Amy G in addition to that. So good morning to everybody that's jumping in for that too. Birdsong and Verlander. Yeah, I mean, at the deadline, if they are buyers, which I honestly think they should be sellers, but if they are going to be buyers, then they've got to get more starting pitching. But honestly, they're not good. They're not good. And I think what one of the biggest things about teams is you got to be real with yourself. And the National League is really, really good. And we'll get into it a little bit later, but the National League's good. And the Giants are not, and they're going in the wrong direction. Could they flip it? Yeah, they could, but there's just too many. At the beginning of the season, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. We're getting into a lot of what ifs for the Giants. And you might as well just get more for the future, because clearly the one thing, well, I want to do this later because I don't want to get into the Giants first. But the one thing is they don't have any organizational depth. I mean, look at first and second base this year. They haven't been able to solve it from within. They don't have anything there. After they trade the organizational depth with guys like Hicks and Kyle Harrison, where's the organizational depth in the pitching? It's not there, because they shouldn't have Verlander in the rotation. They shouldn't have now Birdsong in the rotation. There's nowhere else they can turn. They don't have trust in it. So obviously the organizational depth is garbage. What does that tell you? You're a seller, not a buyer. Your minor league system has nothing. It has nothing. That's what it's telling you. First and second base, there's nothing. So what do you have to do? You have to sell, not buy. You're not in buyer mode. You don't have anything. You have no depth in this organization. You sell. I mean, it's just obvious to me. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. I want to start with the 49ers today. Let's go, Niners. I just feel a lot better. What else do we have today? Salute. Yeah, I think I'll see Papa maybe tomorrow. That'd be nice. I haven't seen him in a while. We've been talking, but I haven't seen him in a while, so that'll be very nice. Why am I driving you crazy? What am I doing? Because I was late today. Is that it? Probably. Good morning. Good morning, Colin. Good to see you this morning. Keeping the faith. It is tremendous. Pine Needle. John Harder, it is great to see you, my friend. Very good to see you. Yeah, Tim, I'm with you, man. Giants got to sell. I mean, they got to sell. And yeah, you can complain about Farhan or whatever the case may be, but clearly they have no organizational depth. We'll get into it. I want to start with the Niners. I want to be positive, man. I'm not doing this Giants dance all the time, man. They don't deserve it. They just don't deserve it. Scott, it is good to see you. Lost Crew, it is wonderful to see you this morning on the chat line. And again, this is all on John Lund Unleashed in the chat room. A lot of good people. And again, if you haven't been in here before, say good morning to everybody. Humboldt Fats, it is great to see you this morning. Got a great crew this morning. It's awesome to see everybody on the verge of training camp. Everybody is stoked. Very, 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 very cool to see everybody. If I didn't get to everybody this morning, I will at some point continue to say good morning and hello to everybody. Gabriel, just going to see you this morning. Great to see you. So let's start with the Niners. And so it begins as we start at the top here. And before we get into anything and John and Kyle speaking and what I ask them in power ranks and everything like that, it's really cool, I think. It's a unique position that the 49ers find themselves in. For the last number of years, and you know this as a 49ers fan, it's this part of the season is, oh, do we got to go through this again? It's almost like, I don't know, I don't play many video games anymore, but when you were young and you get really close to the end, it was like, ah, and you'd have to start all over again, and you didn't want to. You just wanted to go to that one point. You just wanted to keep trying that one, but you had to go, you know, start over. And that's kind of what it was like as a 49ers fan. It was like, I know we're going to the playoffs. It's just, will we get to the Super Bowl? Can we finally win the Super Bowl? It was just, that was all there was. You know, what's going to be our seeding and all these kind of things. And now it's Philly's better. The Packers are better. The Lions are better. The Vikings are better. The Rams are better. Maybe the Seahawks are better. Like, all these teams are presumed to be better than the 49ers, and they've all got something to prove again. And I love that position. And I would encourage you, now you do you. You know, a big part of the show is, and you know this, you do you. All right. That's a big philosophy of mine. But I would encourage you to remember that coming kind of as much as the 49ers can, because they're such a high profile organization, but as much as the 49ers can fly under the radar, be underrated, have Christian McCaffrey be the 73rd ranked player in the top 100s, which is a joke, but okay. As much as they can make Trent Williams the fifth rated offensive tackle or question this, that, or the other, I can't believe how much people are questioning Christian McCaffrey's health. You know, he's been injured a lot in this league before when he was with Carolina, and he's bounced back before. Nobody works harder. I don't question if he's going to be healthy, but it seems like everything I read is how, you know, will McCaffrey be healthy? Will McCaffrey, like, that's in the bank to me. And you know my philosophies, what's in the bank, what are what ifs. Christian McCaffrey's in the bank for me. I could be wrong on that, clearly, but I think that's not really a question to me. And it's a big question to everybody around the 49ers, as far as nationally. And there's a couple locally. I'll show you a couple of articles as we start talking about the 49ers. But just before I get started on everything, as we embark on a new 49ers season, I love the position they're in. I love that people are talking about all these other teams. I love that the pressure's on Philadelphia or Detroit or Green Bay or any of those other kind of teams. And I look, are the 49ers perfect? Hell no. Do they have the talent advantage that they've haven't had in the past? No, they don't. Did they lose a lot of guys this offseason? Yeah, but to be honest, and I've said this the entire offseason, which we're on the verge of finally being in the to the end of, but they lost a lot of guys who were injured or overpaid. I mean, that's just what it came down to. And a lot of guys have to step up. Rookies, second-year guys, and I'm not sure they all can, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, that's just how it is. Early in the season, it might be a little bit rough for the 49ers, but the saving grace to them is that this schedule just sucks. And I'm sorry that you have – well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. If you have season tickets, you have, you know, tickets to Levi's Stadium this year, it kind of sucks. Although, you know, the tailgating and the fun and all those kind of things, and if they win, that makes for a great game, you know, a great day. But, you know, I always like to see competitive games and all those kind of things, and I think they will be. But to me, I like where they are. I like that everyone's questioning them. I like that there's a lot of things to step up. One of the fun parts, I don't know, maybe you disagree with me. Look, the climb to me is fun. Being at the top is fun, and you're constantly having people target you and go after you and all these kind of things. But in the last couple of years, remember, Philly was kind of seen as a team that was going down, or the Rams were a team that was seen as going down. And you know what you have to do as a front office? You have to do it again. And the 49ers and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, when they first took control, it took a couple of years, and then, man, they nailed it, right? They got the Kittles and the Warners, and they just went boom, 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 and they just nailed it. And then over the last number of years, because you're picking at the end of the round and it's a struggle, they haven't hit those guys. They just haven't. And it happens. But now you look at this team and you say, look, there's still a ton of talent, especially offensively. So I've said this a million times. They're going to score points. Defensively, I have major question marks. There's no doubt about it. I think Robert Saleh is awesome, but he can only do so much. But these question marks are fun. The ascend, the climb is fun. I like that as a fan. You know, you go into the season and you have these expectations, and nothing but the Super Bowl will do. And those are tough expectations. If we don't win the Super Bowl, we're bummed out, or at least get to the Super Bowl, we're bummed out. And believe me, as a 49er fan, and with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch around, and it's kind of like having Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, there are no, oh, we had a nice season, we won 50 games, we got the sixth seed, and we got to the second round. That doesn't work. And it doesn't work for 49ers fans when John and Kyle are around. I get that. But a lot of people are just kind of downgrading the 49ers and saying there's a hole there and a hole there and a hole there and a hole there. And I just got a weird feeling that if they get average health, however we want to define that, then I think they're going to be pretty good. And the schedule's bad, and we'll see. You know, every season there's surprise teams and all these kind of things. Now, look, if the 49ers have some injuries, especially defensively, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And if certain guys defensively, like Alfred Collins, can't play, or Nick Martin can't play, or you know, there's a couple of guys in their second year that you expect to take a leap forward and don't, then yeah, there's going to be some issues with the 49ers. Because the one thing you cannot deny about this team, no matter how optimistic you are, they don't have a heck of a lot of depth. So yeah, there's a lot of issues, but it kind of makes it fun, right? This time of year is going into training camp and looking at all these different things, because normally it's like, well, all the positions are filled. There's not really a lot of competition. I mean, there's competition everywhere with the 49ers. Think about it. Receiver, backup running back, along the offensive line, along the defensive line, the edge, linebackers not named Warner, the entire secondary outside of Demo Lenore. Hell, even the kicker. You know, everybody's like, oh, Jake Moody again. And I don't know how much in reality there's a competition, but I think there should be. They brought in a hell of a bunch of new special teams guys. I mean, there's a lot of competition around the field. And normally we walk into training camp and we go, we pretty much know who's going to start all across the board. So, look, I think it's exciting. I don't know, you know, are they going to be as good as they have been in past years? It would take a hell of a lot from the rookies and the second-year guys. But I don't know. I don't know about you, but the building process to me is fun. It's interesting. It's certainly interesting from a media perspective because there's more to talk about than there normally is, because normally it's like, look, how deep are they going to go in the playoffs? Or normally this time of year, it's how deep they're going to go in the playoffs. Can they get back to the Super Bowl? Can they finally win the Super Bowl? I don't know if that's the conversation yet. You know, it's how good can they be? Can they get into the playoffs? Because that's a definite question mark. And I haven't looked at the percentages or anything like that. I haven't looked at, I don't remember what the over-under on wins. It might be around 10. And it's just because of the schedule. If the schedule was more difficult, I'd look at, you know, things a little bit more differently. But long story short in this whole thing, and the whole reason I'm blabbing along here is I'm excited. And it's the first time in a long time that there are so many questions around the 49ers, and that excites me. Because you look at a lot of young players and you say, look, man, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to step up. How good of a defensive mind is Robert Saleh? Can he really take all these pieces, all these young pieces? Like, the defensive line is incredibly young. Outside of Fred Warner, there's nobody proven at the next level. Outside of Demo Lenore, there's nobody proven in the secondary. Nobody. Everybody's got to step up in that secondary, and there's some injuries. So to me, that's exciting. You know, I get it. You'd rather have, you know, the guys that you've had in the past and it'd be like, hey, you know what? We're just talking about the Super Bowl, and I get it. But it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun, not necessarily hitting the reset button, but just seeing who can play. Because there's going to be guys who can step up this year, and you're like, right on. And there's going to be guys who are like, I expected more out of that guy. Like, I've said this already probably five times. I would be cautious in how much you expect out of Mikal Williams. He's just a lack of experience in college. I think he's going to be a really nice edge guy. That's why I think Bryce Huff was a massive signing for the 49ers. Because if Mikal Williams can set the edge on first and second down, and I know that's not sexy, and then move inside on third downs and handle guards on passing downs, and Huff and Bosa can get to the quarterback and go nuts, then I think that, you know, you might be cooking with a little bit of gas there. So there's a lot of discussion on the D-line. And when the Niners are great, beyond the offense, what happens when the Niners are great? It's the D-line, man. They control everything, and that's the league, really. Defensively, look at the best teams in the league right now. Philly, their D-line is ridiculous. I mean, that's what happens. Chris Jones of the Chiefs, when he dominates, I mean, the D-line is everything defensively. When the Niners are really, really good, that thing's rolling, and they got to get backed up to that level. So anyway, that's just kind of the opening salvo when it comes to the 49ers. I feel great. So any questions, comments, thoughts you have on this 49ers season as you kind of just start to look to training camp, which again, John and Kyle speak at 11 o'clock this morning, and then I'll have all that stuff. So keep your alerts on today because I'll cut all that stuff up. We'll have all that for you. I'll give you my opinion on everything that they're saying. And as far as, so John and Kyle speak, what I'd ask, let me jump down to what I'd ask for a minute, and then I'll get out to some thoughts that you have on the chat line. What I'd ask, it's very simple. The first five questions, either Matt Barrow, so Matt Maiocco will ask, and then everybody else will kind of jump in, will be about the wide receivers. You know, what's the health of Ricky Pearsall? In some order, it'll be this. What's the health of Ricky Pearsall, which I expect Kyle Shanahan to say he's going to be ready to go tomorrow. Where is Brandon Ayuk in his recovery? Because we've heard everything from he's going to be definitely on the PUP and he's going to miss the first four games to he could even be ready for the first game. So we don't know that. And what's the latest on that? Now, again, do I expect them to open up the book completely on a guy like Ayuk? Probably not. We won't probably learn a ton on that. And then the third thing is obviously going to be what's going on with Juwan Jennings. Is he here? But more so, and I've been beating the drum on this too, more so, is he going to participate fully in training camp? Because if I hear he's just going to sit in meetings, I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear that. And look, if I'm the organization, you and I have already had this conversation a couple of times. I think given where they are, as far as the wide receiver room is, he's got him over a barrel. Now, I'm not giving him, you know, probably what he wants. He probably wants $20 million a year. And he probably wants a few years. He probably wants 60 mil, 80 mil, something like that. And I'm just not doing that. Not in a season where I paid all these different guys. I just can't do that. Not in a season where I got rid of a bunch of guys that I was overpaying. Not in a season where I'm eating. Do you know how much money? They're eating the most amount of money for players not to play for them, like guys like Hargrave and so forth, more than any other team in the league. So I don't see them giving a big contract to Jennings. How I see this playing out, again, given how the question is answered today, but how I see this playing out is kind of like what McCaffrey was given last year, kind of like Trent Williams was given last year. Like, okay, you know what? $7.5 million is not market value for a guy who probably is going to be our number one receiver, at least to start the season. We get it. We understand. We're a good organization. We want to be seen as a good organization. Look at what we did in the offseason, paying all these guys. Okay, fair enough. You're making 7.5. We'll jump it up to 10. You know, we'll play ball here. But if you're gonna say, okay, well, we want 20 and you want to pay us 10, middle is 15. I don't know that the Niners even go to that level. Maybe they do. I mean, but that's doubling his pay right now. And when we talked about this at the beginning of this whole thing, when Juwan held out, it's like everybody's watching this, man. Not everybody in the league, everybody on the team. And remember, they got pushed around by a bunch of guys, but those were superstar players. George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa over the last few years. Look, those are superstar players. You've got to pay the cornerstones of your team. That's the foundation of your club. So you got to do that. But Juwan Jennings is a nice dude. He's a nice player. If they lost him next offseason, would it hurt? Sure. But there's a gazillion wide receivers coming into the league, and they don't have near the leverage they think they are. Now, Justin Jefferson does. Yeah, you know, there's a few guys. Jamar Chase does. Those guys are special. Outside of those guys, everybody's movable at the wide receiver position. I don't, you know, Tyreek Hill, he's a general pain in the ass. What has Miami done since he's been there? How about nothing? So, look, you don't have to have those type of elite wide receivers to win Super Bowls. You just don't. A.J. Brown's great, you know, for Philadelphia, all those things. But, you know, you've got to have a lot of different guys to do that. So, do you need elite wide receivers? You need good ones. You don't need elite ones. And Juwan Jennings is a really nice player. But in the long run, if you're not going to overpay a Juwan Jennings, is my point here, is that, look, we'll give him a few bucks. He's earned it. He's going to be the number one guy for the, you know, maybe for the first few games until Brandon Ayuk comes back. But I'm not, you know, if he and his agent think, okay, we want 20, you're offering 10, we're going to go 15. We're going to double your salary right now? I don't think so. So anyway, those are going to be the first few. It's all going to be about wide receivers to begin. Then probably after that, they'll get into the defense, young guys, rookies. Who do you expect to step up after that? You know, DBs are going to be talked about. Brock, I mean, of course, you got to talk about the quarterback. How's Brock doing? Blah, blah, blah. Getting Brock's contract done. They're going to talk about that a little bit. Who else? Christian McCaffrey's health. They're going to ask that three different ways. What else will be talked about today? That's about it. You know, all those kind of things. General kind of laughing about the offseason, all that kind of stuff. Expectations. I'm sure they'll be asked about, you know, hey, they're not expecting as much out of you this year, that kind of stuff. That'll be generally the press conference. Injuries, wide receivers, defense, having Saleh back, those type of deals. You know, having an offensive coordinator in Clint Kubiak, what that will mean, which I was pounding the table at the end of the season for that, just for somebody to have Kyle to bounce something off somebody like he had when Mike McDaniel was here. I think that's a huge thing. Just having Kyle in his own head, I don't think is a good thing. So they've made really good improvements. Special teams will probably be something that's brought up. I think Jake Moody will probably be something that's brought up, even though that's the last thing you want to talk about is your kicker, but they're going to bring up something like that. So what I'll do, like I said, is we'll get that and then I'll cut all that stuff up and then I'll post it on johnlundunleashed.com. I'll do some videos on it. I'll make sure that I kick all that stuff out. So make sure that you have your alerts on. So what would you want to know today at the press conference at 11 o'clock? Give me your thoughts on what are you going to be looking for? What questions? You know, wide receiver is going to be obvious. Those are going to be the first things. Probably the first 5, 6, 7 questions are on Jennings, on Pearsall, on Ayuk. Those will be the first number of questions. And then it'll go in a number of different ways. McCaffrey's health, Brock, of course, defense, having Saleh back. That'll be generally what it is. So anyway. Other people in the room. Hi, Dom. It's good to see you. Thang Dang. It is great to see you. Tony, good morning to you. Enrique, I don't think I've said good morning. Joe, Joji, good to see you. Konnichiwa, my friend. Very nice. Antonio, let's go Niners. Very nice. See, look at everybody's in a great mood today. Everybody is in a great mood today. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong because, I mean, I'm saying everybody, so I'm generalizing. But, I mean, everybody is pretty much, you know. You could be right. You could be right. But maybe what I'd say to him is, look, it's going to be a distraction. I mean, I'm so against hold-ins. And I remember they did have some kind of a discussion about it in the offseason and nothing got passed on it. But I hate hold-ins. I really do. Because what the player is essentially doing is, like, I don't want to get fined, so I'm here, so you can't find me. But I'm not participating in anything. And then what's happening is it's a distraction to the other guys. Like, you know, you're not coming out on the field. So, I mean, I would have some kind of an understanding with his agent that says, look, we just don't want him around. I mean, we had last year, we had this thing with Ayuk and it was a big pain in the ass. We just, you know, we don't want him around. And if contractually we have to have him around, he's not coming out on the field. Like, he's not dancing around. He's not high-fiving. He's not waving to the fans. He's not fist-bumping Kyle. He's not like, because remember last year, it was like, look, at he's fist-bumping Kyle. What does that mean? He's hugging John Lynch. What does that mean? It was like, it was this big mess in training camp last year. And it was the number one story day after day after day. And they kept having to answer the question. And it was like, God. And then the players have to answer the question, you know? What is it like not having Brandon Ayuk out there? It was like, come on, man. You know? It's just such a distraction. So, anyway, I don't like it. I don't like it. What else do we have as far as Niners stuff? Questions, comments, thoughts? Who are you going to be looking at? Is there a rookie? To me, beyond the wide receivers, Khalil just hit it right on the head. I think C.J. West and Nick Martin will be studs. I really like C.J. West. I really like C.J. West. Like, I know a lot of the talk is about Collins, and I get it. He's the second-round pick. But how many times have the Niners taken a guy, and then another guy later in the draft was better? Coming to mind more quickly is Ambry Thomas. Remember in the same draft they took Ambry Thomas? They took Dema Lenore. So Ambry Thomas was the third-round corner out of Michigan, and Dema was a fifth-round fifth-round corner out of Oregon, and that was the better one. When they took running backs, remember they took in the third round, was that the Trey Sermon one? They took Trey Sermon early, and then they took the kid, his name's escaping me, the kid that they just let go, who was always hurt, Elijah Mitchell. They took Elijah Mitchell later in that draft, and he was the better running back. So, look, it happens all the time. And for some reason, look, I hope both are great. But I watched a lot of Indiana football last year because they were really good. And you always saw C.J. West. I think you were 50 at Indiana. And it was like, man. I mean, it was just like C.J. West constant. Like, you're just seeing 50, 50, 50. And he's built like a fire hydrant. I think they list him at like 6'2", 317. I mean, dude, I like that kid. So, look, it's just what they've done inside, what the 49ers have done, and I've talked about this and you know this, is that what they've done inside is they're just it would be great if they just had, well, Elliott's going to be in there too, but Elliott, West, Collins, I mean, they've got big boys. And A, they want to stop the run, but B, they want to push the pocket, man. They want to push the pocket. There's nowhere for the quarterback to go. He gets outside of the pocket, and Bosa and Huff track him down. I mean, both those guys have the speed to get guys down, and they just didn't have the push in the middle. And that's what they want. And those big boys, between those three guys rotating, and then they got a couple other guys as well that are big boys too. Anderson's a big boy, and hopefully he can take another step forward. The dude who always wore the gigantic helmet, that dude's in there. And then, you know, there's a guy like Kevin Givens, and there's always a place for a guy like that. But they're kind of going away from the smaller, quicker defensive tackles, and they're going more towards, all right, try to move our guys. Try to move our bulldozers because they're just not moving. And that's what they did. They went with two giant guys. Like, hopefully Jordan Elliott has a better year this year. They rotate those three big guys in there with a Givens, with an Anderson, and all of a sudden, you know, a decent five-man rotation. Now, are those guys going to be, you know, knocking down 7, 8, 9 sacks like guys like Armstead did or, you know, guys like Buckner did? No, they're probably not going to be doing that. But that's where, you know, Mikel Williams, when he moves inside on passing downs, that's the speed guys on the outside. That's going to be huge. So, anyway, we shall see. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I like C.J. West a lot. I hope Collins is good. But I didn't watch as much. I mean, I watched Texas, but I don't know. For some weird reason, I was watching a lot of Big Ten, probably because they put, you know, SC in there and Washington and everything, and they put the West Coast teams in there. So I've seen how they would fare, which generally wasn't well. So no, he's a good player, man. I like him a lot. I was excited when they drafted him. So, but that, look, outside of wide receiver, that's the biggest thing to be watching the entire preseason is how does the defensive line perform? You mentioned Nick Martin too in there. Nick Martin is a huge one. Either he or Winters. I mean, one of those guys have to step up and not just be okay. I mean, remember last year when we were constantly looking at Devondre Campbell's back? And it was just constant, whether it was a tight end, whether it was a running back. It's like, look, that's where we're attacking. Like, wherever 59 is, that's where we're attacking. And Winters got better as the season went on. But when he was first out there, man, he was just too excited. Like, he's got good speed, all that kind of stuff. I watched him a lot at TCU. Good player. at TCU, but he was just like, he was like Bobby Boucher, like a little, like not the good Bobby Boucher, like just a little too excited. You know what I mean? Just like, dude, settle down. It will be fine. So anyway, that's that. All right. So I saw some power ranks this morning, and this is what I meant by I like where they are. So let me pop this up. Actually, you know what? It's right here. Sorry. So they have this is the Athletic this morning. Let's see. Yeah. I know. I saw that. This is the Athletic this morning, and they have the 49ers at 15. Early in the offseason, they had them 22. Here's what they say. Robert Saleh is back as a defensive coordinator, has a much younger front seven. You don't say. Quarterback Brock Purdy is locked up long-term. I want to talk about Brock in a second, but only one question really matters in San Francisco. See, this is I don't agree with this at all. Is only one question matters, really? Is Christian McCaffrey healthy? Achilles and knee injury, blah, 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 blah. For McCaffrey and the Niners might too. 1-6 games, blah, 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 blah. See, I think the McCaffrey thing is vastly overrated. I could be 100% wrong. You know that. But I think McCaffrey's healthy. He had injuries in Carolina. He bounced back from. I know he's closer to 30 years old. I understand all those things. Is he important? Hell yeah, he's important. Hell yeah, he's important. I mean, the fact that Brock Purdy had a struggling year, which I think Brock's going to be much closer to year one and two than he is to year three. I think he's going to have a real bounce back year. And is McCaffrey a key to that? Absolutely. But this emphasis on, like, look at the beginning of that, what it says there. But they say only one question really matters. Really? Christian McCaffrey. See, and I don't agree with that at all. I think Christian McCaffrey in the list of questions that the 49ers have, where would I put him? 15? I mean, honestly, wide receiver is ahead of him. Brock is ahead of him, how he bounces back. I'm much more worried about left guard. I'm much more worried about the entire defensive line from the edge opposite Bosa Mikel Williams to all of the defensive tackles to any linebacker not named Fred Warner to any defensive back not named Demo Lenore to the kicker Jake Moody. I'm much more unsure about Jake Moody overall than I am Christian McCaffrey's health. Honestly, all those things to me are ahead of Christian McCaffrey. He's near the bottom of the list in terms of things I'm worried about. Like, I don't understand why people aren't convinced that Christian McCaffrey is healthy. I went down there early in OTAs. I went down there for all the OTAs, and every single time everyone would huddle around a McCaffrey and go, "Are you healthy? Are you healthy? Are you healthy?" All day. And after a while, he would look at the podium like, "What else do I got to do, man?" Like people, like videos are all around, and people see me with my shirt off. Like he's doing all the drills. The guy is like body is a temple. He doesn't need anything. I mean, he's like Tom Brady-ish in that way. Like the guy's going to bounce back. Like there's no question in my mind that Christian McCaffrey's going to bounce back. Now, is it going to be what he was 2 years ago when he was what Saquon Barkley was last year? Christian McCaffrey was 2 years ago. And we have a really short memory in sports. I understand that. But for the love of God, man, really? I mean, people don't think the guy's going to bounce back? All right. And again, I could be looking like, oh, geez. Like my Birdsong thing, which I'll get into a little bit later, which I was totally wrong on. I'm not worried about McCaffrey. Everybody else is. But let me skip that and just go power ranks 15. So in the NFC, what was interesting is, and again, this was on The Athletic, they had the Niners 15th. So Eagles were ahead of them. Packers were ahead of them. Vikings were ahead of them. Rams were ahead of them. So basically they had, by this ranking of 15, they had the 49ers as the eighth best team in the NFC, which would mean they'd be out of the playoffs because they had three teams in the NFC, the Commanders, who I think are going to rocket back down to earth, but they had three teams out of the NFC East making the playoffs. They had three out of the North. They had Eagles and Commanders out of the East. Out of the North, they had the Packers winning the division. They had the Lions and the Vikings. So they had three teams out of that division. And they only had one team out of the West, which was the Rams. So they've got the Niners not in the playoffs with this schedule. And like I said, a lot of my optimism is with this schedule. Because this is not a good schedule, and you've seen it. You've looked at it. They have one playoff team coming to Levi's Stadium. And again, if you have season tickets, I feel bad for you. But it's the Rams. And I think, look, even last year, as atrocious as they were, Debo with the drop. They had opportunities early in the season. They could have beat the Rams. That was a bad loss to the Rams. Remember that? Tutu Atwell catches that ball deep and all that. They could have won that game easy. They should have won the game here late against the Rams. They should have beaten the Rams twice. They lost to them twice. It happens. You know, NFL, most games are within one score. So they had two opportunities to beat the Rams. So even last year when the Niners had all those injuries and were 6-11, they had two chances to beat the Rams and definitely should have beat them in L.A. So, look, they're not that far behind the Rams. But what they've got to do, and I hate, you know, you probably hate this, but they've got to emulate the Rams. What the Rams did when, you know, Aaron Donald retires and, you know, they win a Super Bowl. 2 years later, Aaron Donald retires. Everybody's like, well, the Rams are done. Now, they bounce right back, but it came through the draft, and specifically it came on that defensive line. Jared Verse, or Fisk, Young. I mean, they've done a great job defensively. And then it's kind of like, look, they have McVay. They're going to score points. They have Stafford. They have McVay. They have Puka. Like, they're, you know, Kyron Williams, they did a nice job. They revamped their offensive line. They were always going to score points. The question was, especially when Aaron Donald left, how the hell are we going to stop anybody? That's exactly where the Niners are. When you have Kyle Shanahan, criticize him all you want that he can't win Super Bowls. I get it. But they're going to score points. McCaffrey, Kittle, Ayuk will be back. Jennings is going to be back. Hopefully, you know, Ricky Pearsall can be something. Like I said, I think he's going to be on the field tomorrow. But the reality is that's who you need to emulate. You have Kyle Shanahan. You will score points. Can Robert Saleh come back and turn what is a bunch of young, unproven players outside of Bosa, Warner, and Demo? That's it. You have three guys defensively that you can count on. Outside of that, it's like, I don't know. But that's it. And if he can turn that into what the Rams did, it was like, where did these guys come from? Didn't they just lose Aaron Donald? What the what? So there's that. So power ranks. And again, if you look at it and you look at 15 and you go, what? 15? And I'm like, hey, that's perfect. That's perfect. You don't want them in the top five. 15, let us sneak up on people. And I know it's hard for that, you know, that helmet to sneak up on anybody. But, hey, just underrate us, man. That's cool. That's totally cool, man. Totally cool. Fine with it. Let's see. What else do we have from a football standpoint? Because I really want to avoid the Giants as long as I can. Oh, they did have some wide receivers in yesterday. Did see this. Cephas is a guy that I've heard of. Powell is a former Viking. St. Brown, yes, he is the brother of Amon-Ra. He's not quite as talented. None of those names on that list are anything but a camp body. If you saw that yesterday, those are all camp bodies. They're short of wide receivers. So I don't know that there's anybody on that list to get overly excited about. Brandon Powell had a couple of decent years in Minnesota, but I'd be shocked if any of those names on that list, not that they weren't brought in, but that they made the final roster, depending on the health of Brandon Ayuk. And again, that'll be a question that's probably asked today. So Maybe that does mean that Pearsall is not going to be ready. But again, like I said, I've heard that he is going to be ready. So we'll find out today at 11 o'clock. We are exactly an hour and 3 minutes away from hearing from those guys. So anything else on the Niners? Because I guess I'm forced to talk a little bit about the Giants today, but I really don't want to. Let me see if I've got anything else football-wise that I wanted to share with you on my screen before I'm forced to do a little bit of Giants talk. Yeesh. Yeah, okay, I'm good. All right, we're good. We're good as far as that goes. All right, if we must, please, somebody bring up something that I can talk about with the Niners, please, so that I don't have to bring up this Giants stuff from last night. I would agree on the Bosa thing. You got to lead with your stars. I mean, you got to lead with your stars. And those guys have got to be great. Look, Warner's going to be great, we know. Demo's got to have a bounce back year. I mean, look, Demo talks a lot, and Demo's good. Demo's got to be great. Because the rest of that secondary, especially with the injuries, the safety position is going to be rough for a minute, and that's not going to be good. And you can't just take a second-year player. And look, I love the kid, but you know, it's like, okay, is he automatically going to take a step up in the second year? We'll see. So there's that. Kyle and a second-rounder for McVay. I like Kyle, man. I'll defend Kyle. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always say about him is he's conservative, and I wish he would, because with his mind, I wish they would be more on fourth down. I'm not saying he needs to be Dan Campbell or somebody like that, but I would really like them to be just a little bit more aggressive. So that would be nice. Oh, I hope you're not right in that one. The one thing is, when he was drafted, is that Collins is 6'6" and about 330, And it's hard to get your pads down when you're that tall, man. Hopefully Chris Cassera can get those pads down, because it's tough, man. It's tough when you're that tall. And in the NFL, you can't just power your way through dudes. They're going to leverage you and they're going to push you back. It doesn't matter how big you are, man. Yeah, I did see that, Joji. They did that piece on his dad. I think it was they were doing a piece on the brothers, and then they showed the dad. Yeah. And when they were like 12 years old and they're sitting there lifting, they had video of the guys lifting, the boys lifting. Hi, Joshua. It's great to see you, man. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Very nice. All right. We're going to be forced to do this, but we'll keep it as short and sweet as possible. And again, if you are still wanting to talk 49ers, that is fine with me. Believe me, I don't want to talk Giants. Just hopping on your show. Keep rocking the show a second to none. That's right. Hi, Rosemary. It is great to see you. See, people are coming out of the woodwork for Niners talk. They know. They know. I wouldn't do that. I would not trade Bosa for Hendrickson. I like Trey Hendrickson. I like him a lot. He is vastly underpaid. The Bengals have him under contract for $16 million, and we just saw $40 million go to TJ Watt. And what's – I think that Myles Garrett's making about $40 million. So, look, he's not coming in for 16, and he shouldn't. And the Bengals are just a bunch of jackasses. I mean, they can't even get Shamar Stewart signed. And I saw Mike Brown yesterday, and it's like, dude, shut up. Like, he comes out and basically says that there's a clause in the contract that essentially says that if that player gets involved in domestic violence or something like that, then they want to go back retroactively and take money away from the player. And what the agent is saying is, let's say that it happens just for the sake of conversation in 2028. Then the agent is saying, okay, then you can take from that forward. So in other words, if it's a five-year contract, the contract is the money's prorated over 5 years, you can take that fifth year of the prorated signing bonus away from the kid. Mike Brown is saying he wants it to go prorated back to like 3 years. And the agent's saying no. And then Mike Brown saying, well, it's never happened before, so it doesn't matter, so don't worry about it. And the agent saying, well, if it hasn't happened, then just, you know, so they're in this battle, and it's not even about money. It's about when you would take money away if something unforeseen happened. In other words, the guy, like I said, I'm just using domestic violence because that's the one that Mike Brown used yesterday. But my point is that you've got this inept front office that is driving a further wedge between the first round pick and the team. And it's like now the player's like, I don't ever want to play for that team. So I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever. Now, having said that, the Bengals are a team that like to just sit out. Even if they could get something for the guy, the Bengals are that type of team, they'd be just sit out for the year then. Sit out. We don't care. You're either going to play for us or nobody. They might do that. A more rational team would be like, okay, we'll just trade the guy and, you know, we'll get a first-round pick from somebody who really loved the guy. But, man, I couldn't believe that he came out and said that yesterday. And then Trey Hendrickson came out and said, okay, I'm under contract for $16 million, and I've got the top three sack guys over the last 5 years are Watt, Garrett, and Hendrickson. Those are it. And you get paid to get sacks. And so I don't know what the Bengals are doing, because it's like, look, man, the guy's right there. He's in the top three over the last 5 years. He's not too old. I think he's 5 months older than TJ Watt is Hendrickson. So there's no like, well, you're older. There's no like, well, this, or you don't do that. The numbers are the numbers. You got to pay the guy. That's the going rate. And if you're not going to pay the guy, then you got to move the guy. Like, that's it. That's the league. But the Bengals just sit there and go, nope, 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 nope. And it's like, I'm sure teams are calling. And they're probably offering 25 cents on the dollar. And I get that if you're the Bengals. But if you're not going to pay him, you got to move him. I mean, that's just the deal. And, I'm, you know, the Niners aren't in on him. The thing that would scare the hell out of me is if a team in the division gets him. You know, like Seattle is building a pretty good defense. Now, offensively, I'm not a huge Sam Darnold guy. Never have been. Not when he was with the Niners, not anything. I'm just not a huge guy. They lose DK Metcalf, which he was fun to go against the 49ers. That was a lot of fun. Smith and Jigba last year was great in the slot. Now he's going to have to be an outside guy with Cooper Kupp, who's a slot guy. I think Seattle downgraded their offense. But defensively, Seattle's building a nasty unit. And if somebody like Trey Hendrickson made it to Seattle, I'd be like, ugh. That wouldn't be good. So that's the only thing I'd be afraid of is, you know, you got like a Jonathan Gannon who's really aggressive in Arizona, even though I think they're still, you know, they're a ways away, but I wouldn't like him to get there because they need a rusher. Heaven forbid if he ended up with the Rams. Could you imagine him opposite Jared Verse? Like, ugh, God. Like, so I don't want, you know, that's the only thing. Great call. Who just mentioned Fant? That's a great call, Joe Schmo. Yeah, one of the first things I thought of is, and look, Noah Fant has underachieved with both Denver and Seattle. I thought he was going to be a great, great tight end because remember, he came out the same year and he's an Iowa guy. So maybe George Kittle is, you know, bumping up to the front office saying, hey, man, this guy would be great. But I don't think he's reached his potential whatsoever. He came over in the Russell Wilson trade as one of those players. What a rip. God, Seattle just raked those guys. Devin Weatherspoon was part of that trade as a draft pick. My God. But anyway, Noah Fant came over in that trade. He was kind of productive. I think he caught about 40 balls last year, something like that. Decent. But, I mean, the Niners have been looking for a number two tight end who could catch the ball for so long. And it's like Luke Farrell's a blocker, purely a blocker. And to kind of tell you where the 49ers are from a tight end perspective, they brought back Ross Dwelly. No offense, but, dude, I mean, not great. So Dwelly's not a great blocker. Dwelly's an okay receiver. I don't know who's looking at Noah Fant. I'm sure there's probably other teams that could use him. But Fant came out the same year as T.J. Hockenson. Remember, Hockenson went early to the Vikings. To the Lions. Now he's on the Vikings. But he came out early to the Lions, like top 10 pick. And then Fant went, I think, 20 to Denver. And I thought both those guys are going to be great. And Hockenson has been great. Fant's a better athlete, but just hasn't done it quite as much. But he's decent. And Fant's not a bad blocker. So Noah Fant as the second tight end to George Kittle, and you have Luke Farrell as the third tight end to block. Yes, please. That would be nice. That would be really nice. And that's the kind of stuff that Kyle's trying to do. The reason why Kyle likes a second tight end like that is he wants to disguise what he's doing. So he could bring in a Noah Fant who can catch the ball just fine. Noah Fant can catch the ball in the seam. He's got enough speed to do that. He's good on third downs. Like you could, especially with Brandon Ayuk possibly out for a while, the wide receiver position kind of a little bit in flux. You bring in a Noah Fant who's a better receiver than he is a blocker. You go double tights with George Kittle. You're not saying what you're going to do. Like, you're not necessarily just going to run because you're bringing Noah Fant. You can bring in two tight ends. It'd be nice. I mean, he'd be nice in this offense. So I was surprised Seattle let him go. I mean, they took a kid, Arroyo, from Miami in the second round, and he's a nice player. And they had a kid out of Michigan, Barner, play well for them last year. But still, Fant's pretty good. And he's not old. I mean, what's Fant? Probably 28, 29, something like that. So anyway, yeah, that'd be a nice one. I'd be excited. When I saw that, I was like, interesting. So if he's not, you know, if he's not asking for a ton of money, just maybe to reestablish himself, do a 1-year deal for Fant. I don't know, $5 million. I mean, they've got it. They've got the money. I mean, they're probably looking at Jennings and they're going, we got to get Jennings done first. But still, man, I wouldn't mind that at all. At all. See how I'm trying to keep away from the Giants? Let's see here. Yeah, Fant was released by Seattle like 2 days ago. So, yeah, that'd be sweet, man. Be very nice. Exactly. Yeah, that was a nice call. All right, fine. I'll just do this real quick. We're going to get this done. Jeez. I don't know what to tell you about the Giants. I don't want to sit and bitch about the Giants. I just want to talk about the Niners, but I do have to just bring it up. I thought yesterday's game might have been rock bottom. They've probably played worse games, but I mean, it just the last time we saw Atlanta was so bad. They're throwing the ball all over the yard. It was in San Francisco. They made a bunch of errors. They looked terrible. And I thought to myself, they're going to improve, and they haven't. They're just as bad. Now, they brought back Ronald Acuna. Acuna scores from first on a single. My God. The miscommunication in center field between Jung-Hoo Lee and Ramos, where, I mean, look, Jung-Hoo, this is like the second or third time this has happened with Jung-Hoo Lee. I like the hats, and I like the chants, and I like all this kind of stuff. Jung-Hoo Lee sucks. Can I be the one to say it? Everybody likes him, and it's fun, and he has a great smile, and I love the press conference, too. He sucks. All right, what does he do? He doesn't have power. He has speed but doesn't steal bases. He's not a great base runner. He's a good defensive center fielder. I could find one of those for a lot cheaper than what did he sign for? About $120 million. He has been a bust, all right? Now, last year, you could give him an excuse. You could say he got hurt. He wasn't acclimated to American baseball. I get it. But when you come over from Korea, it's not guaranteed. And I'm sick of waiting. It's a lot of money that they paid Jung-Hoo Lee, and he just hasn't produced. You know, he's a guy that right now he's got speed, but he doesn't steal bases. He doesn't have power. He's a line drive hitter, but he pops the ball up a lot. He doesn't use his speed. Like, he's a good defender. That's the best thing I can say about Jung-Hoo Lee. I can find Harrison Bader can do that for $3 million a year. And I don't like Harrison Bader. So I don't think anybody can take Jung-Hoo Lee. It's a terrible contract. Watching that game, like, what are you doing? You're the center fielder. Take charge. He's done that at least twice that I can think of, and he might have done it one other time. He's been a complete bust, and nobody will say it. He's been terrible. He started out the season nice, and since then he's been terrible. He'd hit a .103 in June, and he's not much better in July, and they're trying him all over the lineup. Like, they let him off last night. They're like, okay, hitting sixth, he's not working, hitting third, hitting second, hitting there, not getting it done. He's not getting it done, and he's not getting better. That's the problem. Like, okay, you came over from Korea. It's quite a jump. It's not Japan. Terrible. All right? So a terrible signing by for Jung-Hoon Lee, and that's Farhan, and I get it. And then Elliot Ramos, man, what a cool story that was, right? Comes out. They boot him out of spring training early last year. He's crushing it in AAA, and it's like they don't want to bring him up because they're like, we're not sure, we're not sure, we're not sure, we're not sure. Finally, they're like, we got to bring the guy. He's so hot. And he gets off, and he, you know, to a great start, makes the All-Star game. Last year, second half, not very good. And then all offseason, I'm like, is he the first half guy? Is he the second half guy? Gets off to this great start, right? One of their best hitters. He's doing great, playing well. And, you know, he wasn't a defense. Like, they played him in center a little bit last year, and he wasn't really a bad center fielder. He wasn't above average. He was kind of average to kind of middle. And then I don't know what happened to him defensively. Gets terrible jumps now. Struggles even with routine balls. Gets bad jumps. Takes bad routes. Horrible, horrible play against Toronto on Sunday where he breaks in. Then he tries to come back into the play, and he goes straight across when he should have been going back. Like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with the guy. Left field is the easiest position you can play, dude. Like, there's no other easy position. Like, he's another DH. Honestly, on a team with some solid outfielders, Ramos is a DH. And here's what's crazy. He's a good athlete. He's a really good athlete. So I don't know what the hell's going on with him, man, but he's a good athlete. And you start looking at the Giants and you're like, okay, you're not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Jung-Hoon Lee should be a base stealer and he's a good defensive outfielder. Ramos should be a better defensive outfielder and should be in like the 2020 or 30-30 club. It's not happening. He's regressing. Not good. So let's start there. All right. From that play last night that was so completely embarrassing. Let's just start there. And we know what's going on with Devers. He's still terrible. Chapman was the lone bright spot last night. So brutal, right? Just brutal. All of a sudden, the defense is just absolutely brutal. And then Birdsong, and let's go to this real quick. I think this is the one. Was this the one? Yeah, right here. Listen, look at this. 25 pitches, 6 for strikes, walked 4, did not record an out. Last Giant to face 6 without recording out, Zach Littell in 2021. Last non-opener, Gil Heredia in 1992. He threw 25 pitches and walked 4. Did not record it out. Now, you and I have talked about this a lot with him, where he'll cruise for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 innings, and it's not slow. All of a sudden, whether he loses confidence, whether he loses his release point, whether he, whatever the case may be, and a lot of times it's just fastball command. He cannot throw a strike, and all of a sudden it's over. Like, he'll have a 3-0 lead. It'll be the fourth inning. The guy's kicking ass. He's got 5 or 6 strikeouts, and all of a sudden, what happened to this dude? Like, he is gone. So it looks like it's both a physical and a mental issue for him, and he just can't get it back. And I've brought up my golf game with him a million times. Like, it's like me. I'm cruising through 5 or 6 holes, and then I start thinking about it. I'm in the cart, and I'm like, am I playing good golf? Oh, my God. I'm actually playing decent golf. And then I start thinking to myself, I'm not very good. What am I doing? Then I start slicing and hooking, and then I'm messing with the club and my stance, and then I'm screwed. And it's all in my head, and I suck. And I'm not comparing myself to a major league pitcher. I'm saying from a mental standpoint, it's really easy to just lose it. And that's what it looks like he's doing. He just cannot – once he loses it, he cannot get it back. And it just so happens that last night, that's how he started the game. He just had no clue what he was doing. And so they have no choice now, even though they have no organizational depth, which goes back to the should they buy or should they sell, which we'll get into in a second. They have no organizational depth. Whizzing Hunt, okay, bring him up, whatever. Beck, okay, let him have a shot in the rotation. Like, whatever, man. Like, I don't care who it is. You got to try somebody, whatever. Is there somebody in AA? Is there somebody, like, take a flyer on somebody at this point? And again, I'm not going back on the Devers trade, but that was the only organizational depth you had on the mound, which was Harrison and Hicks. Those guys could pitch, not very well, but those guys could pitch and you could put them in a game. But now you have no organizational depth. You don't have nobody. Like, for the first time in a long time, I don't know what the deal is with Wizard Hunt or anything like that, but he was like player of the week a few weeks ago or a month ago, and then you thought, well, it'd be a good time to bring him up, and they didn't. And now you're at that point, and this is why I said this a month ago, bring him up in a time where you're winning, it's cool, it's mellow, there's not all this pressure. Well, now you're scratching and clawing for the wild card berth, and you're like, oh my God, let's bring up Carson Wisenhunt to try to save us. And that's not the time to bring up a young pitcher. Now all this pressure is on him. Hey, save our rotation, please. And that's not a great place to put a guy, to put a young guy, but that's what they're going to have to do. You can't have Birdsong in the rotation anymore. I was wrong. I could not be more wrong. Because the whole time I'm pounding the table when he was a reliever, I'm like, this guy, and I've talked to the guy. That's what was amazing to me. I talked to the guy on the patio. I was like, oh my God, this guy's mature and he gets it. And this is going to be easy. And he throws 98 and he's stuff falls off the table. Like, this guy's ready. This guy's ready. You know, maybe they shouldn't have traded Harrison. They should have traded Birdsong. I don't know. But the guy's, he's lost it. And he's got to go back to the minor leagues. And he's got to talk to somebody different. And he's got to find it and then come back. Even if it's just for 10 days or something, he's got to make a couple of starts. But the bottom line to the whole thing is he can't start anymore. He's done. So let's review as we come up on the deadline. You got two starters who can get it done, unless, of course, Ramos is in left field and then Robbie Ray can't get it done. But you got two starters who get it done that are very good. And then you look at the third starter and you go, hopefully Landon Roop can be that guy now. I mean, we're down to him. Verlander, the last time out, what did he go? 2 2/3? I mean, he was so bad that the home plate umpire on Sunday said, why don't you shut up in there and get through three innings? It was like, what? That the home plate umpire ripped on him on Sunday and screamed at him because he was screaming at balls and strikes, and the guy screamed at him, why don't you just get through three innings? Worry about yourself. And that's how bad it is for Verlander right now. So as bad as the offense has been, their number one priority is probably a number three starter. I mean, that's bad. And then offensively, we just talked about things. So let's go down to buy-sell. Should they buy or should they sell? Well, let's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Should they buy or should they sell now? Well, they've got to sell. I mean, not just based on the standings and the way that they look and the fact that they're going in the tank right now, but let's review. Could the organization find a first baseman? No, because Bryce Eldridge isn't ready. And I guess that Luciano can't play first base at all, even though he's just raking. They can't do that, apparently. So you don't have a first baseman in the system, and you got to go get Dominic Smith, who's playing a former failed first-round pick who was playing in AAA for the Yankees, to play first base because you have no organizational depth of anybody who can play first base. Then you go to second base, and you try Fitzgerald, and you fail. And you try Schmidt, and then, of course, Adames and Chapman, you're going to do that. Okay, you're going to keep Bailey. I get it. Ramos is going in the tank. Lee's going in the tank. And the best you can do in right field is Yastrzemski. There is no organizational depth among position players. There is no organizational depth among pitchers, relievers, or starters. They don't have anybody ready. None. What are we doing? And as far as relievers go, just proof on that. So they lose Eric Miller from the left side. What do? They go outside the organization and they get Scott Alexander, who they've already released. So that's what they've done. Position player, we can't figure out first base. Let's go get Dom Smith. Reliever, we need a lefter. Let's go get Scott Alexander. Second base, we have no clue. We have no outfielders that can come up and take the place of any of these guys. Luis Matos is the best we got. They have nothing in the organization, position player-wise, starting pitching, relief pitching. They don't have anything. So if you're around the big mahogany table now and you're part of the decision makers for the Giants, what do you do? Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Pine. Luciano has a frying pan for a glove, and probably what they're going to do is they're going to let him keep raking down there, and hopefully someone will say, okay, we could just use a bat. We could use a DH because, I mean, there's 15 DHs on the Giants. They got a bunch of guys who can't field. So, they're probably going to trade Luciano and, I don't know, get some sort of a pitcher at this point. I guess. I mean, I don't know if – I doubt the Devers is ever going to play first base, so I don't know what they're going to do. But, it's clear to me right now that this has been a nice run for the Giants. But again, over the last 70 games, they're 33-37. This is not a team, and it's a tough National League. So at some point, don't you honestly have to, and I'm asking you the question, I'm not saying, and I'm asking, Don't you have to honestly look at yourself in the mirror if you're Buster Posey and say, look, and tell the powers that be that have the wallet that, look, we got Devers for the long term. He wasn't a rental player, and he's going to be fine. So we had a not successful, that's the wrong word, but look, we got a really nice player in Devers, and he's going to acclimate here, and he's going to get healthy, and he's going to be fine. So he's not a one-year rental. He's going to be here a while, and this is good. We'll get him healthy. We'll get him in spring training. We'll be fine. Bryce Eldridge can come up, play first base. Devers can be the DH. We're going to be fine. In the offseason, we've got to find some more pitching. In the offseason, we've got to determine what, you know, what we're going to do at second base, what we're going to do in right field, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is they have such little depth in the organization in all aspects, pitching, relievers, starters, position players. They've got to start adding something to the organization. Remember, they traded James Tibbs, their first-round pick. And again, I'd keep Devers 10 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10. But they've lost any kind of organizational depth, and clearly they don't have any. And if they do, I don't know about it because I'm not scouring A-ball and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not doing it. But the reality is that they don't have anything, at least that's not ready or that's ready. So what they need to do is they need to trade some guys, and they need to get AA, AAA players that can play in the next couple of years within the organization. Because you can't go through a season like this thin. You know, where you're looking at first base going, we got nobody. Bryce Eldridge isn't ready. When you look at second base and go, we got nobody. When you look at the outfield and say, we got nobody. When you look at relievers and say, we got to go get Scott Alexander. Like, they don't have anything ready. And that's one of the major problems on this team right now. In 2021, remember that? When they won the 107 and it was a miracle, everybody that came up from Sacramento was, like, contributing. It was unbelievable. It didn't matter if it was a position player, pitcher, whatever the case may be, they were all contributing. It was unreal. And now it's just there's a difference between the Farhan Express, where it was like every day there was like players in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Like, there's nothing Buster can do. You know, it's like, who are we going to bring up here? So I don't know what moves they have, but for them to sit there and here's the other thing too. Who are you going to trade? Like, is somebody going to get fooled because Marco Luciano used to be a prospect? Is somebody going to be fooled because, I mean, if Carson Wisenhunt was ready to go, wouldn't they have brought him up here by now? I mean, they need a starter. This isn't new for Birdsong to be this bad. It's just he did it in the first inning yesterday. So it looked really, really bad. But this has been going on a while. This mental thing. I mean, remember, I played that video for you when he was in the clubhouse. He was like, I have no idea what's going on. And right when we played that, I go, whoa, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. So you knew it. I mean, mentally. So anyway, give me your thoughts. Buying, selling. I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I think they got to sell. And if they buy, I just don't know who they're going to give up. Because if they had anybody viable, they'd be up here contributing. They need hitting. They need starting pitching. They could use some more relievers. If any of those guys could contribute right now from the minor leagues, they'd be up here. So there's kind of your catch-22. They don't have anybody in the minors that can contribute right now. So who are they going to trade to get said players that they need? They traded who they traded to the Red Sox. And again, that wasn't a great package that they gave up for Devers. That was highway robbery, even if he's hitting 206 or whatever since he got here. So anyway, give me your thoughts. That's all I'm going to do on the Giants today. I'm not going to do it. Not anymore. We're an all Niners all the time. 11 o'clock for the press conference. Keep your alerts on today because in a half hour, I'll get everything together. We got to jump because I got to get ready for that. What else do we got? Are people complaining about Bob? He signed an extension, man. I don't, you know, they picked up 26 on him. So, yeah, I love Bob. I've told you this a million times, but he's not getting it done. I mean, that's just bottom line. I'm going to see more out of Casey Schmidt. I mean, he's having a nice little run here, but which Giant this year hasn't? I mean, seriously, there's been a lot of the Giants this year have been on nice little runs, and it's like, wow, maybe, never mind. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee had been on a run earlier this year. I mean, there's been a bunch of guys who have been on little bits of runs. I mean, Casey Schmidt, a small sample size, has been really, really good. I want to see it longer. And then I'll say that he's a part of the solution and not part of the problem. But right now, I can't say that. I love his glove. He's got the glove, and at times he's shown a little bit of power. He's shown a little bit of this or that. He's got to be more. I got to see more out of him. What is it, about 100 at bats for him? this year. Let me look at Casey so that I give him a fair shake. But yeah, look, like I said, I've got like 100 Casey Schmidt cards that I want. I want them. And I told you years ago, I'm like, he's going to put my kid through college. Well, next year, my kid's a senior at Arizona State, so it's too late. But Casey's got to get it going. Okay, he has 130 at bats, four home runs. He's hitting 246 with a 706 OPS. I'm sorry, that's just not overly exciting. 706 OPS is below league average. He has four home runs and 130 at bats. He's hitting 246 with 16 RBIs. That's better. I mean, you know, he's got an 0.07 WAR. I mean, that's better. That's better than what he's done in the past. I mean, what did he hit last year? You know, I mean, better than last year. There's no doubt about it. And he's trending in the right direction. But I'm gonna wait for more than 130 at bats. Last year, at 107 at bats, hit 252. So he actually had a better batting average and a higher OPS last year. He had a 760 OPS last year. So this year he's at a 706. So, you know, he's a career 653 OPS player in 490 at bats. 490 at bats, 15 home runs, 62 RBIs, and a 227 batting average. Sorry, I'm just not overly excited by that. But at times, yeah, he's shown absolutely. Has he shown flashes? Absolutely positively. No doubt. No doubt. I'll give you that 100%. It's just I need to see more. Let's see. What else do we have? All right. Anything else to do? Oh, I do have a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol that's going to put you in a good mood. So don't leave. Do not leave. Let's see. Anything else on the 49ers? Again, episode 197, and so it begins. John and Kyle speak. We will lead 49ers until further notice because the Giants have to win their way back into our hearts. After yesterday's performance, very down. John and Kyle speak at 11 o'clock. What I'd ask, power rankings, Giants worst. I'm saying performance. That was not good yesterday. What happened, by the way? I don't even know if I addressed this. That's my question. Like, what the hell happened? What happened to this team? They were defending. They were getting timely hitting. They were getting good starting pitching. The relievers were kicking ass. And it's just like, God, it's just so discombobulated right now. Just ugly. Just ugly baseball, man. Random things. Let me throw one random thing by you, and then I'll do a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol. My stepdaughter is getting her wisdom teeth out, and I keep like, and I probably did it too much. I'm like, we'll take care of you today. Don't worry. Like, I just remember my wisdom teeth being one of the worst things ever, and my face like was gigantic. Like my face was like I can't even. It was gigantic, and then in the middle of the night, my stitches broke. And so my dad had to rush me to the hospital and they had to get them fixed. And it was awful, just awful. And then I just ended up sleeping for 3 days and it was like a bunch of yogurt. So I just feel horrible for her today. And so I kept telling her like, oh, we're going to take care of you and it's going to be okay. And then my wife took me aside and she's like, don't, you're scaring her. Like, and I'm like, I'm telling you, it's like the worst thing ever. So, but I did it when I was like 16. So, you know, that was like 4 years ago. So, but I remember it being traumatic. I remember it being very traumatic. Very traumatic. So I'm just wondering, is that how you remember? Have you had him out? And is that what you remember? Or maybe I'm just going overboard on it. I'm going overboard on it. So anyway, yeah, I did. Remarried. Got remarried, thang dang. Remarried. And yeah, I got the son at Arizona State, and I have two stepchildren, a boy and a girl, and they're awesome. What else do we have today? So anyway, let me know. Yeah, that wisdom teeth are not fun. In fact, probably like of the five worst things in your life, maybe not five worst, maybe 10 worst. All right. This will make you laugh. Got a good, sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol for you today.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
Malto meal. I remember Malto meal. I think it was all like yogurt for me. Here's the other thing, too. You can't do shakes because you can't do a straw. Can't remember. I don't know. I just remember being in my bed for like 3 days going, and you got dry socket. Remember dry socket? Terrible. Anyway, you can say anything. All right. Sweet, clean, family friend, the Caboose pistol to end the show so we can get ready for Kyle and John when they speak. When they speak. Yeah. Dang. Look at you. You're going back. That's awesome, bro. You're like, when George was 10. I know, isn't that wild? He's 21 now, dude. It's crazy. He's writing on in the Cape Cod League this year for a summer internship. But yeah, he was 10 years. Yeah, he was on the show all the time. We'd have him on the show all the time. Yeah, believe me, I can't pitch, and he can't pitch. Okay, it would be Alex Trebek's 85th birthday today. It would be Alex Trebek's. Did somebody bring up Sean Gelly? Don't do that. It would be Alex Trebek's 85th birthday today. So what do you think we would do on Alex Trebek's, what would be Alex Trebek's, may he rest in peace. He passed away due to pancreatic cancer, as did my dad. So here's what we are celebrating today for Alex Trebek's 85th birthday.
Do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis' U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to 4 Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the Purple People Eaters? We're going to take a break.
And when he said, I'll die, I went, oh. But anyway, there you go. I am always amazed. And I know, they know a lot more about a lot of things than I know. But, like, you would just think they would stumble across a couple of those. Like Tom Landry, you know? Like, maybe they don't know the Purple People Eaters. Like, I get that. But, like, Tom Landry or a fair catch or, you know, offsetting penalties or just something. And I don't know. I don't even know why they put in sports questions, because you know, like, none of them will know it. So they must just do it every once in a while for comedy or something like that. But, like, they don't know anything. Like, you could do the most basic. And those are fairly basic, right? Fairly basic. I would think, like I was so into sports early in my life, and I'm sure you were too. Like, I don't know. I probably knew those things at, like, 7 or 8 years old, those questions he was asking. Like, my goodness, man. But that always blows my mind. Because, you know, they know everything about everything except sports. Like, everything about everything. And then, like, that line is just drawn. Like, they're speaking a complete foreign language. Like, nobody ever, like, you wouldn't have time. Like, you don't have time to, like, know everything that you know, plus every once in a while. Like, even play fantasy football or anything. Like, no sports whatsoever. Like, they never get sports. It doesn't matter if it's baseball. The answer could be Babe Ruth. I mean, it could be just like what is the easiest question that you could ever ask in sports, right? Like, I don't know, who's the original, home run hitter of all time? Like, you know, Babe Ruth or like whatever. Like, the easiest sports question you could ever come up with. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Who was number 23 for the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, won X amount of titles? They called him Air. You know, Nike, this and that. He had a shoe line. Like, I don't know, however you want to phrase the question. Like, they wouldn't get any of them right. Like, they wouldn't even know that. It was like, you couldn't have stumbled upon that in all your studies and all the things that you did. Like, just not one? Yeah, Bags would have known. Like, that would have been the only guy. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Bags is brilliant. And he knows sports. Like, of all these different topics. And I guess they would never study him because they knew. Like, well, Jeopardy's not going to ask me that. And then when they did, it's like, oh. But you couldn't fit any sports in? Like, none. That's wild, man. That is wild to me. Every time I see that, I'm like, geez, man. Never. Like, they didn't. They know sports. None. That blows my mind. None. Anyway, Hey, Rockin', good to see you, brother. Nice to see you, man. I mean, just some. Anyway, there you go. What else do we have today? Yeah, they didn't know Landry, Tom Landry. That's crazy, right? That is crazy. No, Alex Trebek is passed. Pancreatic cancer got him. And that's what I mean when he said at the end, he goes, I'm going to die. And it's like, ooh, ah, 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 ah. So anyway, he would be 85 today. That's why we played it for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. And yeah, somebody hit this yesterday. And this literally happened right as I hit end, you know, end the show, whatever, there's a button here and I end the show. Malcolm Jamal Warner dies, Theo, from The Cosby Show at age 54. He drowned in Costa Rica. He got caught in like a kern or something, and he died at 54. And it's like, oh, I mean, what a bummer, man. For a certain generation, I mean, The Cosby Show was huge, right? The sweaters and the whole different thing. And I'm not here to talk about, you know, Bill Cosby, which is a whole weird thing in and of itself. But I mean, it was like, oh my God, it was so, I mean, literally I hit end show and then I look over to my iPad right here and it's like, oh my God, Theo died. Like, just terrible, man. I met him one time, really nice guy, heard a lot of great things about him, and just, man, that one hurts. That sucks, man. That really sucks. 54. I mean, that's young, man. That's terrible. So anyway, there was that yesterday. All right, we got to get ready for Kyle and John. Any other questions? And again, well, we're going to talk 49ers until further notice. Tomorrow they get on the field for the first time. And we're not going to sit here and just sit there and go, Giant sock, Giant sock, Giant sock. We're not going to do that all day long. Optimism abounds with the 49ers, and I think it's going to be a really fun season. So it's all going to be about questions to the wide receivers. We're going to get some Christian McCaffrey in there. I'm sure some Brock Purdy defense, having Saleh back, all those kind of things. Any other injuries in the offseason, blah, blah, blah. That's what a lot of it is going to do. So that is going to be a lot of the questions. So that is it. Great stuff, man. Thanks for hanging out today. Saw a lot of new faces in the chat room today looking for 49ers talk. We'll give you a ton of it. Also, a lot of old faces that are coming back because we're doing more Niners talk. So absolutely, positively, we're back into training camp. Officially, offseason is over with Kyle and John talking at 11 o'clock this morning. So we will get you a bunch of 49ers stuff. They're going to talk today at 11 o'clock, and keep those alerts on today because I'm going to get all the stuff and we're going to answer all the questions. So I'll get all those for you and I'll put it into a nice, neat video for you. Plus, go to johnlundunleashed.com and I'll write a column today, a blog post on it, and I'll put all those videos up there and put my opinion on what is actually, I'll break through what the guys say and all that kind of stuff. So John Lund Unleashed, johnlundunleashed.com. Keep those alerts on, please. Please also make sure, thanks, John. Please also make sure that you are subscribed to the channel if you're watching on one of the other platforms, whether that be X, where I am a lot, at John Lund Radio, Instagram, at John Lund Radio, Bay Area Sports Collective. Please subscribe there on YouTube as well. You've been watching on LinkedIn today or Facebook. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, you have those alerts on, and before you get out of here, please hit the like button. And remember, later on today, we'll have more stuff after John and Kyle speak at 11 o'clock. We are there to the NFL season 2025. Everybody have a great Tuesday, and thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!